is a headline that's beginning to hit home, at least closer to home. We've heard in general the national news about the spread of the flu with a twist. And it seems the flu is spreading here to central New York. We at HealthLink On Air decided to provide you with some extra background on the flu before it hits in a huge way here. So to that end, we've invited Dr. Cynthia Morrow to join us. Good morning, Dr. Morrow.
Good morning.
Dr. Morrow is the Commissioner of Health for Onondaga County, and she was gracious enough to come in and spend some time with us this morning. So tell us, Dr. Morrow, how much flu are we seeing here in central New York?
We're definitely seeing widespread activity. Over the last 3 weeks, our activity has doubled every week.
Doubled every week. Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you actually measure that? How do you know how rampant it is?
Well, unfortunately, flu is not a reportable disease, so it's very difficult for me to give you very clear numbers, but what I do have is laboratory confirmed information. That's just the tip of the iceberg. Most people who get the flu don't even talk to their doctor. If they do talk to their doctor, they often don't get tested. And of those people who get tested, it might not be one that gets straight through the lab. So it's only the tip of the iceberg, and those numbers, as I've said, have doubled every week for the last 3 weeks.
Whoa. Now, and is that true in the surrounding counties?
I do know that throughout New York State, there is widespread flu activity.
And I would have to expect then you think the numbers are only going to get higher, don't you?
Right. It's always hard to predict any given flu season, but I certainly think that we're not at the peak yet, and I think we'll continue to see flu activity for another few weeks.
Oh, boy. Is the flu hitting at a different time this year? To me, it seems like it's a little bit later. Do you see any difference?
Every flu season is different. A few years ago, we had our peak activity in December. In general, February is our peak month, so this does seem to be following the normal trends. We are really paralleling last year's trend, although our numbers are much higher this year compared to last year.
They are.
Yes.
Well, and we're going to talk about why that might be true in just a minute, but I want to talk to you about the flu vaccines. Now, I had a flu shot in November, so I feel pretty well protected. Is that true for everybody who's had the flu shot this year?
Well, certainly there are some concerns about a mismatch in the flu shot this year. Every year we predict what's going to be circulating the following flu season. The most common circulating strain is covered by this vaccine, but the other two that are in the vaccine, it's not a great match for. But it is important. It's the best tool we have. Just because it's not 100% effective doesn't mean it's not worth it. If you haven't gotten your flu shot, it's not too late.
It's not too late. Okay.
No, it's
and
not too
I think
late.
That's a really good message to give people. How long does the flu vaccine take to take hold?
It takes about 2 weeks to take hold. And one of the things I want to emphasize, last year when we had a similar pattern, although much less activity, we had flu through April.
We did.
So yeah. So even though you might not be protected until March, if you get it today, until mid-March, you still have time to get yourself protected for March and April.
Very good. And I want to talk about those vaccines for a minute, because that's kind of the twist that we were talking about. I think you mentioned that there are actually three flus that the vaccine addresses.
Absolutely. Every year, the scientific community guesses the three strains that are most likely to be common the mm-hmm. following
right.
flu season. This year, the most common circulating strain is covered by the vaccine, but some of the circulating strains are not covered by the vaccine.
They're not, and that's why we're seeing more flu, isn't it?
Well, that's probably one of the factors. There's a lot that we can't predict, but that may certainly be one of the factors.
I've heard people out there talking about the flu strain having been mutated and things like that, but you don't really think that that's what it is?
No, I think it's just that we didn't predict the most common some of the circulating strains, and a strain that's circulating in the southern hemisphere is actually hitting the northern hemisphere, and that they did not predict that.
Ah, okay. Now, tell me, if somebody gets the flu, what should they be doing about it? I mean, I had the flu shot. Now I get the flu. I don't even realize I have the flu.
Well, the first thing, flu is usually different from a cold in that you have higher fevers associated with it, more body aches associated with it. If you have these symptoms, the most important thing is stay home. Don't go to school and infect your schoolmates. Don't go to work and infect your workmates. It's really important to stay home and take care of yourself. And, of course, call your physician or your healthcare provider for advice. Really, the other thing is that to prevent getting the flu, even if you've had your flu shot, we always want people to make sure that they're washing their hands. If you do have a runny nose, make sure you take care of it properly. Wash your hands, use Kleenex. Really do your best not to infect other people.
Give it to other people.
Yeah, and not get it if you can by washing your hands.
Very good. Is there a cure for the flu?
Well, certainly if you get diagnosed very early, there may be a role for what we call antivirals, which are medicines that you can take to protect yourself. And again, the first thing you should do is contact your healthcare provider.
Okay, very good. Now, let's go back to those flu shots for just a minute, because sure, as you said, it's not too late. Where should people go to get a flu shot?
Well, the first thing they should do is contact their healthcare provider. A lot of the healthcare providers still have flu vaccine. If for any reason that doesn't work for you, you can contact the health department and we can find a flu shot for you. We still have plenty of vaccine that we can give.
And do we still talk about who's at risk for the flu and what forms of flu vaccine they might get?
Well, there may be two major forms of flu vaccine, the flu shot and then flu mist. For children, we really do encourage the flu mist, although either one is okay. People who have any medical condition should get the flu shot. Those people who should get the flu shot every year regardless are anyone who is older than 55, 65, depending on risk groups, anyone who has a chronic medical condition, pregnant women, children. There's a large range of people who should get the flu shot every year. I say everybody should get the flu shot every
okay,
year because it protects you,
sure,
but it also protects the entire community.
And people around you.
Absolutely.
And what about those who say, I don't want to get a flu shot because it just gives me the flu?
Well, the flu shot cannot give you the flu. There's a lot of misinformation about that. Really what happens is people get the flu shot, they get their flu shot at the same time that a lot of people are getting colds. So it takes those 2 weeks to have full effect. You get your flu shot, you coincidentally get a cold, and some people say, well, that means that the flu shot gave me a cold. That's just not true. The flu shot cannot give you the flu.
Very good. So it is just coincidental.
It is coincidental, absolutely.
Good. Well, Dr. Cynthia Morrow, thank you so much for your time this morning. I hope you'll come back to HealthLink on air when you have more to tell us about it and public health information. Thanks
Anytime.
So much.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm psychologist Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. Shrinking life-shrinking thinking, or directing an Academy Award-winning life. In 1976, I won a Student Academy Award. A few months after chatting with Jack Nicholson, trading one-liners with Groucho, and thrilling glances with Jacqueline Bisset at the Academy party, I was back in Hollywood trying to break into the biz. Specifically, I was sleeping on the couch in my co-award winner Karen's apartment, unemployed, hoping that the major studios might think my real name was Richie Spielberg, Steven's even more talented younger brother who Steven had adopted away at birth in a vicious act of sibling rivalry. During my visit, I took the city bus to Santa Monica Beach. I was gazing over the beautiful blue Pacific, thinking, why don't you call David Wolper, producer of Roots and millions of documentaries, who tore open your envelope and said, the winner is a film by Rich O'Neill and Karen Grossman. Or was it Karen Grossman and Rich O'Neill? I mean this, I really can't remember. Anyway, toes in the hot sand, dime in hand, in front of a payphone, thinking, David Wolper probably recognized your genius and your firm look-em-right-in-the-eye handshake after he handed you the award. Then, right there on the beach, through some special effects wizardry, a nasty voice in my head, he won't talk to you. He's a movie biz shark who'll bite you in two, little Richie. Use your dime to phone home, E.T. Instantly, I felt weak, my head wobbling on my neck. Never dialed Mr. Wolper. 2 years later in psychologist school, I realized I'd fallen prey to one of the most life-shrinking thoughts of all, a negative prediction. We often have these when we're about to take a test-the-limits, life-expanding step. We predict bad stuff will happen, often to a sound like the music in Jaws just before his lunch, which is actually our heart revving up as we scare ourselves silly. So, what's the way out of this gray matter horror flick? Simple. Ask ourselves, can I predict the future? No. Well, back in the present then, what problem do I have to solve? For example, me to Mr. Wolper's secretary, I had to say, hi, this is Rich O'Neill. Mr. Wolper presented me with my Student Academy Award. Would he have a few minutes to talk with me about opportunities in the film biz? Who knows? Could have been no, but he might have said, sure. So, dear listeners, next time your brain makes you sweat and you hear, check if there's any real danger. Otherwise, cut that scene because a negative prediction is just a bad special effect.
Wow. Wait a minute. Now, Dr. O'Neill,
yes.
You're telling us you won an Academy Award.
Yeah, Student Academy Award.
Tell us about it.
Well, the film was about called What the Notes Say. It was about a music school called the Settlement Music School in Philly, where there's a branch in this lower class neighborhood and the middle class neighborhood and one in the upper class neighborhood. And the idea is that music serves as a medium to cross stereotypes, to break down stereotypes and let people communicate with each other.
That is wonderful. And you submitted it for this Student Academy Award?
Yeah, the Student Film Awards that the Academy gives out every year. The ceremony is separate from the typical Academy Awards, the ones that are this, you know, in February. They're held in June, and it's a really great, great experience for young filmmakers.
That is just wonderful. It means you might have been a Steven Spielberg. You might have been a Francis Ford Coppola.
Well, what I discovered is I didn't really have the talent or the interest in, didn't fit in into that world.
So. You didn't. And Steven Spielberg didn't really have a younger brother, did he?
He didn't, no. Right.
Well, does that mean then you studied filmmaking in school?
I did. Yeah, I got my degree in communications and filmmaking from Adelphi University.
Excellent. And then eventually you decided to go into psychology anyway.
I did.
You know, I love your message, though, at the end. Don't be afraid to take these kinds of risks.
Yes.
I mean, you don't end up any worse off than you were if somebody says no.
Yeah, we scare ourselves with the thinking, and then we don't just take the leap and go out and what I call live at the edge of the unknown, where life gets really exciting right there. You need your curiosity at that spot. See, well, what's actually going to happen? And is it going to be better for me or not?
And, you know, I also find that it's a way to live without regret.
Yes. And the nice thing about regret, though, is if something happens that you regret, then you can use that as sort of emotional energy to make a change, to do something differently next time around.
That's excellent. Well, Dr. Rich O'Neill, thanks so much for this morning's checkup from the neck up.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here. Thanks, Trish.